All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up?
What's up? Hey, Penn, how you doing this week?
David, listen. We got a problem.
Oh, my. Okay. Emergency.
Right. Pump the brakes. I'm really stressed out.
Okay.
Because I have this problem. I think people are listening to this podcast.
Who would want that?
I'm really anxious because it was all fun and games when it was like, just you and me hanging out, like, you know, shooting the breeze and making each other laugh, and it's all fun. But then, like, I'm getting these comments, like, from people who obviously listened to the whole thing. They're like reminding me, you know, that like J.J. Abrams did in fact already direct a Star Wars. I'm on here going, oh, that would be awesome if he did it. And they're like, you freaking moron, he did it last time. That's why you liked Force Awakens so much.
This goes back to your story about being the movie guy, right? And not knowing anything about stuff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I'm willing to keep giving it a shot here, but, you know, I feel like we should have, like, fair warning. I feel like we should present every – we should start every episode with, like, a list of actual movie podcasts.
Like, you want real information, right? Go to these places.
If you're expecting something, you know, go somewhere else.
I had a similar thing this week where I had feedback from people who were like, this is – I like the podcast because – I'm walking down the streets and I'm yelling at you guys for all the things that you're getting wrong, but it's still fun.
So I have a great tagline for our podcast now that, you know. So I think we should be like the Mad Magazine of podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, brought to you by the usual gang of idiots.
I love it.
So, yeah. So, okay. So I'm willing to give it a shot, but I'm worried, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're listening and we're getting stuff wrong, that means come tell us.
Right. Yeah. If you want grown-ups.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
Well, speaking of things we probably have wrong, let's look at this week's news.
God, I hope there's some Dune news in there.
If only. I mean, we might as well start off with the hard-hitting stuff.
Yeah, get right to it.
I can't even say this guy's name. David Dasmalashian has joined the cast of Dune as Peter DeVries. I mean,
are they making a Dune movie, David?
I just, it's new. You probably haven't heard about it yet. So I don't know who he is. So excellent casting job. Yeah.
I like that. I like when they cast someone that you don't know who they are.
Especially this movie's got so many people that we do know.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how the unknowns do.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay and Silent Bob reboot starts filming this week, and I read that it comes out in the fall. Like, it's got a quick turnaround.
What's that tell you about the movie?
Do people still care about Jay and Silent Bob?
To me, this goes in the category that we talked about a number of weeks ago about, like, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. It also reminds me of, like, Bob and Doug McKenzie. Like, I feel like it's almost like a comedy team that was brilliant and wonderful and I don't want to say iconic because that's not the right word, but it was almost like a one-time thing. Like, I would hate to see somebody else being Silent Bob.
Right.
Like, that's not going to work.
Right. Now, one thing that's got me behind this, and I'm not a huge fan of the series. I think it was, I don't know, either before my time or I just didn't quite click with
it. I don't think you smoked enough weed.
I didn't smoke enough weed. That's the real thing. But I think from what I understand, the premise is that Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back was about them making a movie about Jay and Silent Bob.
Okay.
And this is about them doing a reboot of the movie about Jay and Silent Bob in Jay and Silent Bob. So I think that it could be a nice satire there. So Oh, you're not interested?
I'm not on board.
Back to Dune news next. So, according to StarWarsNews.net, the first trailer for Episode 9 should be out this April and part of Avengers Endgame.
I think that's awesome. Right. I love it when they put a fresh, hot new trailer for a big movie, probably the biggest movie of the year, on another big movie. Like, to me, that just, it speaks to what I love about movies. Like, I'm all about the trailers. I'm a big movie guy, but also, for me, part of the whole theatrical experience is getting there early, seeing the trailers. Like, I remember talking to you at some premieres in the old days. We didn't, this was maybe a little bit before information was quite so sort of common knowledge. And I remember a lot of times you and other people would ask me in the lobby, like, what trailer is going to be on, you know, the premiere of Transformers.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I love it. I think it's great. I love that they're making sort of an event out of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. You say movie of the year. I'm wondering, I mean, and we're talking blockbuster.
Right.
Don't you think Avengers Endgame is going to give it a run for its money?
No way.
You don't, you think Star Wars will do better than Endgame?
Yes.
Really?
I say that with total confidence.
Really?
We ought to put some kind of funny bet to it. We'll put that next week. We will announce what our bet is. David's on Avengers and I'm on Star Wars.
Okay, because I mean, this is a big deal.
It's huge.
Event for both of them. Well, we'll see. All right, we'll put our bets
we'll
out.
We'll talk about that one next week.
Point and counterpoint.
Yes, all right, very good.
Cool.
That's great, because now we know what we'll talk about next week.
We're great planners.
Bond 25, The Shatterhand. I think that's awesome. I read that. I was really excited about that. I heard some question about whether or not that was a great title. I think it's perfect.
I like it. Yeah. I hope that Shatterhand is like a weird villain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I've been part of a group that's rewatching the Bond movies on the 7th of every month at 7 p.m.
Oh, nice.
And we're going through, and one of the things that, the old Bond villains really had like a catch to them. Like there was a big thing, and we've kind of lost that.
Right.
And I think it would be cool to go back to that. So
I totally agree. I hope you're right. I didn't even think of that, but now that you say that, I really hope you're right.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Well, what else we got here? Dude, Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart in the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest portrayal of a Marvel character at 16 years.
Longest portrayal of a Marvel character or longest portrayal of a character, period?
Oh.
Because if it's a character, period, that would impress me. Like, could you imagine somebody being James Bond for 20 years or whatever?
Yeah.
But if it's just a Marvel character, like, in other words, if there's other people out there that I'm not thinking of who have successfully portrayed a certain character for 25 years, that's impressive.
The only person I can think of, and I don't know if he actually reprised the role, would be Christopher Lee, Dracula. I don't know if he did any like movies later.
That's fun, like trivia, like this Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart. Like, that's fun. But to me, it gets a bit like a big, like, all right, trivia point. That's interesting. I'll try to remember it next trivia one.
Yeah. When I read it, I was like, well, they'll just give Guinness World Book of Records out for anything that's not written down yet.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we just won one for longest running Penn Cinema podcast.
What's up? Look at me now.
We're big shots. Space Jam 2, summer 2021 release.
Yeah. I'm down with Space Jam 2. Here's my question. And I don't know. It's a rhetorical question, right?
Yeah.
What is going into this movie that they need 2 or 3 years to, like, plan it out? And, like, we're turning around Jay and Silent Bob in, like, 5 minutes. Yeah. And I can't say that Space Jam 2 is going to be, like, dramatically better. Are they trying to say this is going to be, like, an actual movie? Like, are they giving it, like, real credibility? Or is it just sort of like a... I thought it was like a gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, they do movies like this all the time now. Like, back when Space Jam came out, like, it was an event.
Oh, my God. Michael Jordan in a movie? Wow.
Yeah, but, like, these, you know, motion capture, all this stuff, just, like, whatever.
Yeah.
These days. So,
and is LeBron still going to be...
From what I understand, it's LeBron. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, is he still going to be, like, top dog in 21? I mean, I understand how... He's the dominant player right now, but I'm saying in 2021, where's he going to be at?
But was Jordan playing when Space Jam came out? Was he still like top dog at that point?
I don't know.
Like, I mean,
That's a good
he
question.
He was always like up there.
Sure, he's
like,
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
He's no Michael B. Jordan, but he's Michael Jordan. He's pretty good.
It's true. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, will Bill Murray be back? I mean, that's the big question.
All right.
All right, Captain Marvel outpassing Aquaman and Wonder Woman in Fandango tickets. Yeah. Have you felt the pressure here with that yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this going to blow us all to smithereens?
I think so. So a fun little behind the scenes thing that not everybody knows is that movie studios have to make every movie available to theater owners prior to showing the movie so that we can technically, the purpose, it's called a trade screening. And technically the purpose of a trade screening is so that the theater owner or the person who's acting on their behalf, who would be referred to as a film buyer or a booker, so that the film buyer can decide whether or not he wants to book that movie. So I will be attending the trade screening of Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Day after tomorrow. So I will let you know. But I think from the early buzz and how Disney is handling this and from what our pre-sale tickets have been, this is going to be a big – this is a big deal.
Where do you got to travel for that? New York or –
They do them all over the country. They do them in New York and Philadelphia. I like to go to the ones in New York because I have family there, so I can sometimes tie in a visit with my folks. But mostly I like going to the ones in New York because then I can schmooze the studios. So when they do the one in Philly, they usually have like some marketing guy who like is standing in the back, and you know, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
Somebody who's, you know, just carrying a briefcase, shows the movie, and then goes home. But I like to go, and I work really hard to maintain relationships with all our studios. Uh-huh. So I'll go to screenings. Like in this particular instance, I'm going because I want to see the movie. I want to know what we're talking about ahead of time. But sometimes I'll go see a movie, not so much because I care about the movie, but because, oh, I haven't had lunch with anybody from Fox in a long time. So I'll go and see this movie and then go out to lunch with them afterwards and sort of keep that it ends up sometimes being a little bit of a political thing, so you want to make sure you have good foundation of relationships and friendships so that when you're screaming at each other on the telephone, you know, then it's okay.
Yeah.
And we do scream a lot.
What?
I've been hung up on people frequently on Mondays.
So I've been avoiding a lot of stuff with this.
Yeah.
Because like after the last trailer, I was like, okay,
that trailer thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want too much things in my head before seeing this. But from what I'm seeing on headlines is they were saying I saw early reviews really great. And then now I'm seeing like, oh, mixed, like, not mixed reviews, but like contention with the movie.
What?
And I don't know what it's about, but I just was like, it seemed like from the article headlines that it was like, I don't know, representation or something.
I love Brie Larson. Mm-hmm. She was great at the Oscars the other night, very classy. I think she's been in great movies. I've loved her. I think that she's going to bring a level of really great credibility. I'm not trying to compare her to like Robert Downey Jr. or, you know, any of sort of some of the other people who have taken, you know, a really good acting career and brought it to, you know, a blockbuster. And I think she's going to be perfect for the role. I don't see any downside. I'm 100% on board.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, we are. I think we're both on board. Crazy for this movie. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm going to Emerald City Comic Con the week after this comes out.
Oh boy!
It's like my big trip this year, and I am pumped to see like if there's any representation there, like because it's week after to see what like what the hype is. I'm looking forward to that. So,
wouldn't you think there would be more representation if Comic Con was the week before it? Although maybe Emerald City's not big enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the same time, they can't have reactionary panels and stuff
right
before it comes out because they can't spoil things, but they could have a cast there to talk about stuff. Yeah, so, and then I think, the last thing I've got on this list here is Kingsman 3, February 14th, 2020.
I love it. I love the Valentine's Day release date.
Yeah. I mean, this is, from what I understand, this is like a prequel, so it could be, I think it's different cast or whatever. You like the Kingsman?
I do. I felt like the second one got a little bit away from us.
Yeah.
But I'm on board. I'll give it a shot. I thought it was better than some sequels and not as good as others. But I'll give it a shot.
I like the guy that plays Eggsy.
Sure.
I mean, I didn't see Robin Hood. I heard it wasn't so great. But I think he's a decent actor. I like him as as like an action kind of guy. He's pretty cool. So cool, man. So what do you got going on?
Well, I got a little bit of reviews, or I'm sorry, news. A Star is Born.
Yes.
Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's performance at the Oscars. Amazing.
Yeah.
Just crushed it.
Yeah.
And it was so good that Warner Brothers has now, at the last minute, added, it's getting a re-release with an extra 12 minutes of content opening this Friday, March 1st.
Really?
Yeah, they're trying to get 1,000 theaters. So if you're listening to this, then you can go to your local Penn Cinema and catch Star is Born with an extra 12 minutes. It's funny because I was watching the Oscars and my wife missed the movie, you know, so she was like, you got to bring it back. So now I'm going to go home and be like, all right, honey, I brought it back just for you.
Just for you. I just had the most morbid thing in my head. 12 minutes of the garage still. Is that what it's going to be?
Right. Yeah, they never tell you which 12 minutes. Yeah, you know? Yeah. There was a reason they cut the 12 in the first place.
Right.
Although this, I like the chances of it being a good 12 minutes because the movie was so long that you know that they were cutting out good stuff just to get it. Like, you know, somebody was yelling at them going, hey, it can't be 3 hours.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're not making the Avengers. So speaking of Oscars, you called it Spider-Man, best animated.
What's up? What?
I called it Free Solo, got best documentary. And also, much like A Star is Born, on the strength of that, it got a return to IMAX. So Penn Cinema IMAX is going to feature some Free Solo. Another week of Free Solo leading up to Captain Marvel.
Nice.
And I don't know if this is really news or not, but I feel like we need to discuss a little bit.
Okay.
The whole Roma, Green Book,
okay,
Netflix, race relations, you know, the whole nine yards, because I've been taking a lot of shit about this, you know, over the last 24 hours.
Okay. All right. So what are people telling you?
So here's my problem. This is a lot of the grief that I've been taking has been related to the fact that I made the comment that Roma really should have been nominated for an Emmy, not an Oscar, because everybody I know watched it at home, right? Because we don't live in New York and LA. And by the time it came to the smaller markets, it was streaming at home, you know, which is fine. I mean, I love Netflix. I have no problem with Netflix. I watch Netflix all the time. My problem is, I always make the comment, I give priority when I'm scheduling my screens to theater, to filmmakers who prioritize theatrical experiences over, you know, like a good filmmaker, you know, really, and I don't mean to imply that these other guys aren't good, and maybe that's why everyone's yelling at me, but like I look at somebody like M. Night, right? And I'm not saying he's the best director or whatever, but this guy will never make a movie that goes straight to video like Roma did.
But I'm just mentally checking in my head. Has he already done that? Is this one of those things where people are yelling at him already?
I feel like Roma, to me, was trying to be cute. Netflix spent an incredible amount of money lobbying for Oscars. You know, they hired the lady that was the brain behind all the Weinstein Awards. She bought all those awards for the Weinstein Company before they folded. And she, by all reports, did a great job, you know, with an incredible campaign to get at Oscars. But they released the movie in theaters literally so that it would be eligible for Oscars.
Right.
There was no commitment to a theatrical experience. There was no shared experience. So in other words, very, very few people in the country were able to watch this theater or watch this film in a theater full of people. Most everybody watched it either by themselves or with their husband slash wife. And to me, that is very disrespectful of the theatrical experience. And therefore, it should be classified as an Emmy. You know, it should be like Game of Thrones is a masterpiece. You know, and I've seen Russian Doll is a masterpiece. There are amazing shows and even movies on Netflix that are stunning and in their own right, as their own art form, are brilliant. But they should be competing with other movies that were made for small screens, and the Oscars should compete with people who made their movie for big screens to be shared by 100 people at the same time.
Now, okay, not to disagree with you completely here, but like, how many other Oscar winners out there have been like these indie films that would have never come around here anyway. This is just another way for people to see it, though. Like, to counterpoint this. So, like, like a Woody Allen film, like, isn't going to take up a ton of your screens, and maybe it doesn't even get here.
Well, a friend
of
mine...
it shows at Zoe and doesn't show here.
Well, a friend of mine said, oh, well, this, you know, you should have played it and you should have played The Favorite. Well, we did play The Favorite. We played The Favorite for 7 weeks. You know what I mean? I mean, we talked about it on the show. We loved it. And so, I mean, I hear you, and your point is valid, but if a movie...
Like, how wide does it have to go to meet your standards? If it goes wide and then goes straight to, like, instant,
here's my thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a question of how wide does it have to go. It's a question of how long does it stay in the theater before I can see it at home.
Okay, so you're saying that Roma was just, like, 2 weeks and then home.
Right.
Okay.
They opened it on November 21st, 2018 in, like, New York and L.A., and it was available on Netflix December 14th.
Okay. All right. Yeah, quick. I mean, it was super pre-planned to do that.
Yeah.
All right. I see. I mean, I definitely – I'm not saying that I don't see what you're saying here, but I'm just like – I'm trying to look at it as a view from a world where Netflix didn't exist. Like, what is a parallel here for some of these smaller movies?
So, like, if it was another studio.
Yeah. Like, for if some of these movies that – I know there are movies that have won Oscars that I've been like, I've never heard of that film before in my life, and it was like, best thing ever.
I want to come back to this conversation, but let's take a little sidebar.
Okay.
Because I have a fun point of trivia. For Penn Cinema, we did break this exception to the rule. We played one movie on the same day that it was released at home.
Okay.
Can you guess what that movie was? I'll give you a hint. We opened it on Christmas Day.
How long ago?
3 or 4 years.
Ooh.
Maybe five.
What was the Christmas Day? I don't know.
The Interview.
The Interview?
Remember the controversy with North Korea? There was
that
comedy,
And
North Korea was going to bomb any theater that played it. They were going to bomb us.
And
I literally got a phone call from the FBI on Christmas Eve. And my cell phone rings, and the guy's like, this is Agent So-and-so from the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and I have a duty to warn you, blah, blah, blah. And so then I hung up the phone, and my Amy was like, who is that? I was like, nobody. Is my mom calling to wish us Merry Christmas? But yeah, so Sony called us like the week before that movie opened and was like, hey, listen, you know, in light of all these threats, if you want to cancel your booking, you know, we're going to release it online. And if you want to cancel your booking either because of the threats or because of the online, then go right ahead. But I felt like, you know, hey, I love the, you know, chances, you know, stick my thumb at the.
You love the chance to blow up.
We went to, I mean, it was a really interesting time. Maybe we can tell that story sometime. This isn't the time or place. But anyway, so getting back to the Oscars.
Okay.
So let's move on from the Netflix thing. That's whatever, and I'm sure we're going to get all kinds of hate mail because everyone thinks that I'm like anti-Roma. Not anti-Roma, I'm just saying something about the value of the theatrical experience.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on from that part and get to the discussion of, was Roma better than Green Book?
Okay.
Because now you have all these people coming out. It was really interesting. Before the Oscars, everybody I talked to was like, oh my God, Green Book was the best movie I've ever seen. And now... a lot of people are coming out and saying, oh, it's no good. Mm-hmm. It was oversimplifies, you know, the racial problems that we have in our country. And it's too easy of an answer, you know, and that kind of stuff. And it was funny because I love Green Book. I mean, we've talked about my question or my comment is that it's really interesting to me how I can see a movie and feel one way. And then like months later, somebody points something out and I see the movie in a whole new light now. Because now I'm kind of like, you know, they're right. It really, in a way, really oversimplifies some very screwed up things. And now I kind of feel bad for liking it so much. Like, I'm not sure. Like, am I just too stupid to have – I should have seen that the first time or – I don't know.
This is one of those messy things where it's like a powerful message could have been said, but because maybe we're not the – appropriate demographic to think about it, we totally miss it.
Right.
And we don't even think about how where we should be more enlightened and pick up on it. And, you know, it doesn't, or it doesn't originate from us. Like, it has to be pointed out. And it's sad that that's the way things are sometimes. But I didn't see this movie yet. And I know that from what I understand, that Black Klansman was like way more, you know, on the nose about this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And if that's what we're going for, is to like gauging if the movie was good, like I think Black Klansman probably. Not having seen neither of them, right. I can just assume from the trailers that Black Klansman.
Take it deals from me. With I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
David Maltin. Yeah, yeah.
From a guy who hasn't seen anything. but yeah, I mean, should Roma have beaten it for? I mean, does that deal. You've seen parts of Roma. Did you ever?
As long as I can keep my eyes open.
Yeah. Did that deal with the subject better?
Gosh, I wouldn't. I have no idea. I literally feel like I'm not qualified to speak on talking about those three movies and how those three movies tackle like the issue of racial inequality and injustice and all that stuff. I think what's interesting to me is just that where was all this discussion before, like a couple months ago? And I'm not saying I'm certainly not trying to point fingers or take anything away from the film. The film was great. What I'm raising the point is it's just really interesting to me how and really valuable, you know, I think how a conversation can change how you view something. You view it one way through your own lens, and then you hear another conversation and you're like, oh, wow, that's actually a fair point. The most interesting story that I read on this, if anybody wants to follow up, is go to the LA Times, the Los Angeles Times.
Okay.
Had a really interesting piece about this, it really opened my eyes to it. So I just thought that was really interesting. And if you're willing to accept that there might be a different way of looking at it, then the conversation makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to say that Green Book sucked and Roma should have won, then I don't have time for you.
So I think what we have here is a great opportunity not only to broaden your horizons, but also a great opportunity to learn culturally.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was really interesting. And then I also – the last little bit of news that I want to just throw in here is – and you're going to really appreciate the hypocrisy – is how excited I am for The Irishman coming soon from Netflix. And if you didn't want hypocrisy, you should have never tuned in.
Tell me about the Irishman. I saw that there was a trailer, but I haven't checked it.
So the trailer is 100% a teaser trailer.
Uh-huh.
So – pretty much all they said was, listen, it's a film by Martin Scorsese.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Robert De Niro. Okay. Joe Pesci. Okay. Harvey Keitel. Like, all the cool guys in Hollywood are making this movie. It's based on a book called I Heard You Paint Houses, which is one of my favorite books ever. It's not, like, the most meaningful or profound. I mean, it's, you know, I can tell you what those books are. But in terms of, like, sheer fascinating read, this is one of the most interesting books I've ever read. It's called I Heard You Paint Houses. And the reason why it's called that is because those are the words that Jimmy Hoffa first said to Frank Sheeran, who's The Irishman. And what he means when he says, I heard you paint houses, is I heard you kill people, right? Because then the blood splatters and it's an expression.
Yeah.
And so this book is written sort of with the help of an author by Frank, The Irishman, Sheeran. And he's the guy who killed Hoffa. And he spells out, you know, how that all went down, among many other things, including delivering rifles to Dallas for the assassination of Kennedy. So there's a lot of history in this. It's a fascinating story. It's the guy's whole life story, all the way, including into his old age. It's a fascinating read. And the movie, if the movie is a fraction as good as the book, it's going to be amazing. So I was really excited to see that commercial play over the Oscars.
So do you think this is an Oscar contender?
Well, the funny thing is I was talking to my staff about this, and they were like, so it's Netflix, and they'll probably release it at home. And I was like, oh, we'll definitely get it. Because, see, when it's a movie that interests me.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden, I'm much more open-minded.
Wow.
Wow. So.
Go ahead.
Oscars, one last final comment on the Oscars. No host, no problem.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
The way that it moved so smoothly, like just, you know. You think they'll do it again?
I hope so. And I hope they hire me to run the next one. Let me officially – this is the beginning of my official platform. I'm running for Oscar guy. Here's my idea. I would be – if I was the producer of the Oscars, what I would do is – instead of giving everybody 30 seconds or 90 seconds or whatever the time is, I would tell everybody, you get as long as you are interesting. So if you stand up there and start trying to think of somebody's name and remember, who was that guy that brought me that great lunch that one Tuesday before we wrapped? You know,
who also directed Star Wars.
You know, these guys are reading names off and like cue them, play them off, mm-hmm. you know. But if somebody's pouring their heart out, you know, or either emotionally on a very personal level or if they're saying something important, you know, then my God, give them the time they need, you know, right. to say their piece. Right. I was incredibly disappointed with how the Green Book team accepted their Oscar. I thought it showed no passion, no emotion, no excitement. It was boring. It was, you know, how can you win Best Picture and not have something to say when you win?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that was...
Do you think they didn't think they were going to win?
I mean, that's possible, but then... Olivia Colman knows what to do then. You didn't think you were going to win. You should be jumping up and down on stage. You know what I mean? And crying and hugging each other. And,
yeah.
you know, these guys were like, whatever. They were suits.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's all the news we have.
Okay. On to trailers.
Yes.
Okay. Number one I have on here. Did I put this? I mean, did – okay.
I did.
You put this one here. Okay. Is there a new trailer?
Yes.
Okay. I did not – I went looking for it. We're talking about John Wick 3.
Yes.
And I couldn't find anything newer than a month old.
Okay.
So is it just a month? Is just you're just talking about that one? Or
I think
one?
I'm just talking about that one.
Okay.
Because
we can totally talk about
that. Here's what happened. I saw Fighting With My Family, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned a minute ago, I always like to watch all the trailers. So one of the trailers on Fighting With My Family was John Wick 3, and it just killed me. It just blew me away.
It's a good trailer.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have one of my many flaws is I haven't seen John Wick 2.
Oof.
But you know I'm going to watch both of them before.
Yes.
And I've actually, like, I was thinking about it even this week when I saw this note a day or so ago or whatever. I was like, you know, I haven't seen the second one. I like the first one. I should just buy them. Just buy them. Mm. And then just watch through them.
Great idea.
Yeah. I think I probably will just, because I like the first one enough, I'll just buy the second one along with, I'm sure there's a 2-pack out there. So, great trailer. Who would have thought Keanu Reeves could like, do this and keep doing it so well?
Mm.
And part of me is like, I think part of what makes it so great is he doesn't talk much. It's just like a silent, he's kind of like a man with no name kind of.
Yeah.
You know, Clint Eastwood kind of just like, he's cool without doing much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, moving on, Rocket Man had the first official full trailer that had a teaser before.
Right.
I don't know if you're an Elton John fan. I like Elton John.
Sure.
So I'm...
No, yeah.
And this is a guy who plays Eggsy.
Yep.
In the Kingston. I'm on board with this. Yep. I like the way it looks. I like the fact that, unlike Bohemian Rhapsody, this is like... It exaggerates a lot of things, and it makes it very obvious that they are exaggerating things to, like, I guess give a point of view or whatever.
Right.
I'm down with that. Are you going to see it?
Taron Egerton. I believe is the guy we're talking about here. Of course I'll see it. I'm 100%. I'll go to that screening.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm on board the way. And I don't like Keanu Reeves. I mean, I agree with your assessment completely. You know?
Well, we're talking about Rocket Man. Now you're back to Keanu Reeves.
I'm going back to Keanu Reeves. But I'm on board. I think... Both of these movies are like they're the third in a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, no.
Rocket Man's not a third in a franchise.
Of course. you know what I was thinking of? I was still on Kingsman. I was still on Kingsman.
Back to last week where you skipped over my opinions on that one movie because you thought so little of it.
right. Rocket Man. Let me focus for a second.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm on board. I think it'd be great. I think I love the kid who's playing him, and I think I hope it doesn't like you could say like, oh, Bohemian Rhapsody opened the door, you know, and I hope that they sort of open the door and make their own movie.
Yeah.
I hope they don't try too hard to sort of cash in.
To be fair, I saw the Bohemian Rhapsody trailer and I saw the teaser for this at the same time. I remember they came out like right at the same time.
Interesting.
For me, at least what I saw in the theater. Yeah. So it's been in the works.
I think it'll do well. I think it'll do great. I hope it. To me, it's one of those things like, yeah, especially if you're an Elton John fan, you got to hope they don't screw it up.
Right. Right.
I think I think it'll be good. I have confidence.
Well, now a movie I know that you're really concerned about them screwing up. Angry Birds 2 had a new trailer, or a trailer. Looks cute. I mean, whatever. I didn't see the first one. I'm not. Don't have any plans to see the first one.
You're not gonna go buy it?
No. I don't plan to go buy it. I probably won't watch this one, but it looks like a good kids movie.
Moving on.
Yeah. No opinion from Ben.
No, I mean, to me, it's like Angry Birds, like, great, whatever. Fine.
Was the first one a success for you, here? Yeah. Okay, so the second one probably will be, too.
Yeah.
So, cool. Palms. This one, what I've been doing for the show is I've been looking at, like, just a list of, like, the new movie trailers and then checking them out. Did you check
this? I did not. I didn't get a chance. I didn't look at this one.
I think this has a chance to be a really good message. It's you don't know anything about it at all?
Not much.
Okay, so it's like Diane Keaton, the girl from Cheers, I think. I can't remember. Carla from
Rhea
Cheers.
Rhea Perlman.
Yeah. And a bunch of other actresses that have reached an older age are now
a certain age. Pam Grier
in a retirement home, and they decide to live out their dream of having a recreational cheerleading squad. And it's just as ridiculous as it sounds, but I think it's going to have a good message. And some of the jokes looked funny. I think it's going to be go with your gal pals. So not my demographic, but I think it has an audience that it'll hit.
You know what's funny about a movie like this? I will see this movie and probably laugh my ass off and enjoy it.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? I hear you. Like, I'm sure it's going to be cheesy and corny, but I'm all about the cheese.
It looks fine. Like I see the trailers and I'm like, that looks like a fine movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I have thoughts about this.
Tell me.
The Kid.
Yeah. All you.
Okay, all me.
All you.
Okay. Everywhere I turn, everyone's like, did you see the trailer for The Kid? It looks so good. Ride around The Kid, best Western ever. And I'm like, is it the best Western ever? Or is it just that we don't have Westerns anymore?
Ooh.
And that you just don't see Westerns, so you don't have anything to compare it against.
Hateful Eight.
Yeah. But I mean, it looks fine. Like, I want to see it. I love Ethan Hawke.
Sure.
I think he's great in almost everything he does. So Dane DeHaan, or however you say his name, and
Chris Pratt,
like, all great. But at the same time, it doesn't really look special. It looks good, but it doesn't look special.
I would completely agree.
Yeah,
like, I completely agree. I'm excited for it. I want to see it. I'm good. But it's not. Here's my I have a little bit of a specific concern about this.
Okay.
Chris Pratt is so funny.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's one of the things we love about him, is he can make you laugh at any given moment, you know. And I'm not really sure, and I mean this specifically, a true question, a legit question. Is he supposed to be is he playing a comic role in this? Is he the comic relief? Because it doesn't look like a comedy.
No, he looks like he's the villain.
Yeah. So that causes me a little bit of concern, you know, because I hope, earlier in the show, we were talking about how we love it when somebody gets cast that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's kind of where I'm at with this. Like, I'm a little bit nervous about it just because Chris Pratt I'm making air quotes here for our listeners. It's so hard for Chris Pratt to fade away into a character. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so hard to watch him and not, in your mind, feel like you're watching Chris Pratt. You know what I mean? Because he's so charismatic, and he's so specific and wonderful, you know. But I'm nervous about if he can sort of carry, you know. I mean, Westerns, you want them to be dirty and dry and dusty and subdued, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited. I definitely agree with your general sense of, this is a good movie. I'm not ready to call it the best thing ever.
Yeah. I'm also, I have a similar thing that you have with Chris Pratt with Dane DeHaan. Everything I see him in, I almost feel like he's always got this like smirk. Like,
yeah.
He's kind of half acting, half like, hey, it's me on set. Can you believe? I'm a cowboy.
You know? Can you believe they gave me another role? Yeah. They're paying me a bunch of money. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm like, ah, every time I see him. And sometimes he surprises me, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. I feel like it's going to get a lot of hype and then no one's, like, not a lot of people are going to see it.
Right.
Dragged across concrete.
Intense.
Intense.
Yikes.
Mel Gibson. I know. Do people realize he's in the movie?
Don't tell anyone.
This is an old cop and a rookie. Well, I guess he's not total rookie because he's not too young. But
right.
Vince Vaughn. Love Vince Vaughn. I'm down. I'm on board with this.
I'm on board 100%.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn. We're going to talk in a little bit about Fighting With My Family. Mm-hmm. He has a small role in that movie. Mm-hmm. I thought he was great. I mean, he's not going to get an Oscar, but he was – I didn't feel like I was watching Vince Vaughn. Mm-hmm. You know, if he disappeared into the character, to reference my earlier comment about Chris Pratt. And so if he is starting to sort of turn his acting career around and you know, take a little bit better roles and not just sort of – I feel like for a while, he just took what I call like payday roles.
Yeah.
You know, show up, make $1 million, you know, say something funny and move on.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he's trying to return to, you know, serious acting, and I know, you know, all the film snobs are going to say Vince Vaughn's never going to be a serious actor. And that's fine. But I'm talking about by my low standards. You know, if he's going to, you know, if he's sort of coming back around, then so far I like what I've seen and I'm looking forward to this movie. And my bigger problem with it is Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of like...
Is that going to scare people away?
I feel like... Don't hate me for saying it because I'm not saying how I feel. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying I feel like the public has moved on. Like I feel like the public is ready to take him back. You know, and I'm shocked by that. I feel like this is a guy who we should just never have heard from again.
Yeah.
You know, and yet what he's making movies and people are paying him to do it. And like, what?
So many other people could have played this role.
Right.
Yet they cast him in it.
I wonder if he's involved as a producer or something. Like, is it his film?
You know, I bet he is. I bet he is. I didn't check that.
Yeah.
But
it's a really interesting question. And you get this a lot in sports, too. Like, where, you know, if somebody... you know, is awful enough in real life, mm-hmm. are you not willing to watch their movies or are you not willing to watch them play baseball or football or whatever sport you're talking about? And it's just a personal question, you know, yeah. And it sort of depends on what degree of awfulness you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
I'm shocked that Mel Gibson has, you know, a career.
The studios are still talking to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Last one I got here, and this one...
This is easy.
Yeah.
This is easy.
Lion King. This isn't really a new... So they're heralding it as a new trailer. It came out... They aired it during the Oscars. But it was... I did some research on it because I watched it. I was like, this is the same thing. Apparently, they just, like, better finished graphics, same trailer. What do you feel? How do you feel?
Well, see, you are what we would call... a trailer aficionado.
I like my trailers.
That's a big word. I'm not trying to throw big words out here. But aficionado means somebody who really appreciates the, you know, the details and the expert and the nuances,
yeah.
You know, in a certain field. And so I am the opposite. I don't know. Somebody give me a thesaurus. Find me what's the opposite of a trailer aficionado. I guess the word that I'm searching for would be easy. I'm what you would call easy.
Okay.
Right. So I thought this was going to be an easy conversation because in my mind, like whatever, like the trailer that ran during the Oscars blew me away.
Oh, I love it. You know, I love the
right,
trailer.
Right. So if it's a new one or updated or it's not the same one as if you were like, I could care less. Mm. I have no idea whether or not it was new. I don't have an opinion on it. I just know that the trailer that's running is amazing and I'm excited for this film.
I'm really looking forward to this film. The only thing that like really pulls me back a little bit is maybe the John Favreau stuff that it's him. I didn't really like Jungle Book. But I don't know if it's the story or because I didn't really care for the Jungle Book, and then Mowgli came out, and I thought that was just way better done. Same story.
Interesting question.
So
that's a question for people who are in charge of marketing films. You know what I mean? Like, how much do you play up brought to you by producers of, you know, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting.
But, well, we're on board with that movie at least. So, weekend movie recap.
So our review this week is Isn't It Romantic?
Mm-hmm.
Which we'll get to in just a second. But the weekend movie recap, in my mind, the big news was Fighting With My Family. So when I place movies, I place them based on where I think they're going to do business. So How to Train Your Dragon was in Theater 5, which is our biggest theater. It was in actually a few different theaters, all the biggest ones. And even Lion King was still in a big theater, and Alita was in a pretty good theater. So The Upside was still in a big theater. And down at the end of the hall in Theater 7, I put Fighting With My Family because this movie – and again, sometimes I get them right and sometimes I get them wrong. And I'll be – I mean, there's no question I got this one wrong. This movie was really good. It was really popular. It wasn't number one. It didn't make national headlines. It wasn't like, you know, The Blind Side or some other, you know – I'm not trying to over-exaggerate it. But I'm just saying, I thought it was sort of a little bit of a throwaway movie, but it was really good. It moves really fast. There's not a slow spot in the whole movie. I'm not into wrestling, but you don't need to be. So in other words, if you think, oh, that's the movie about world wrestling and whatever, that's the sort of premise of it, but it's nothing. It's not – you don't
that
need –
That was my big question.
No. You don't need to be into wrestling and – there's not even a whole lot of wrestling in it, to be honest. There's some, you know, there's quite a bit of sort of wrestling conversation and training and stuff like that, but only as a vehicle to advance the plot. You know, it's really not a movie about wrestling. I loved it. I thought it was really great. It reminded me of Eddie the Eagle. It reminded me of Whip It, the Ellen Page movie that I love. It reminded me sort of those types of movies. I highly recommend it.
Really?
Yep. And I'm not... I don't put myself out there a whole lot and just blanketly recommend stuff to people.
From the guy who just said he was easily amused.
Well, if people ask me what I think, then I tell them.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody who knows me knows that I'm easily amused. Mm-hmm. But like, for example, I talk on the radio every Monday morning and talk about what movies are, you know, and I don't often say like, oh, you should go see this movie. What I usually talk about is this is what's playing, this is what did well, this is, you know, up in that. But the other big movie this weekend, which did pretty much exactly what we thought it was going to do, was the Tim Tebow movie, Run the Race, a faith-based movie, which I've not yet seen, but I'm interested to sort of take a look at it and see. You and I have talked about faith-based before. I'm doing a whole entire public speaking event.
Right.
Tickets are available now.
That's next week, right?
Yeah, March 5th.
Okay.
At the Parish Resource Center out there in Lancaster on Lincoln Highway East. So I'll be there talking about faith-based and Hollywood and that kind of stuff, the intersection of faith and storytelling in the modern-day movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to watch this movie. It did pretty well. It didn't, like, set any records or do anything crazy. There's another movie, another faith-based movie coming out, which I think is going to get a pretty wide release called Breakthrough, which Fox is trying to bring out for Easter.
Is that the one with the kid falling through the ice?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the that was sort of the news. But of course, everything was all about How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, I heard it was big.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was great. And you know what I love about this movie? My favorite part of showing a movie like this is when the kids come in and they're carrying like their stuffed animals.
Yeah,
like, these kids are coming in and they had like Toothless under one arm and the white dragon under the other arm. And, you know, they're just so cute and just fun to see them out with their dads or their moms or their friends or whatever, just having a good time. And it's what, to me, that's what movies are all about.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool. It was a good weekend.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's get to our review.
Did you do your homework? Did you see this movie?
I saw this movie. Of course I saw this.
Did you have any trouble following the plot?
I had to take some notes. Isn't It Romantic, starring Rebel Wilson.
I would say, Isn't It Romantic, starring Adam Devine.
Adam Devine. Yeah, he was great.
Or is it Devine? Devine.
Devine?
Devine, I think.
Devine. I think it's Devine. You know what? I liked this movie.
I did too.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was well paced. The comedy was solid. The message was awesome. I'm sure, you know, definitely for younger women especially, probably, but really for anybody, honestly. It wasn't like I was expecting like dumb humor, like really, really dumb right. humor. And that didn't have that. Like right. I was expecting more. They almost mocked what I was expecting, where she said, "Oh, you know, she trips over everything, and it's right. it's like, oh, it's adorable." But like yeah. that was what they were mocking. I'm on board with this movie. I definitely think if you're looking for a date movie or a romantic comedy in general, it's good. It's short. Get in, get out. Go get a pizza.
Amen. That'd be a great tagline. No, I agree completely, and I'm glad you said that at the end, because I felt the same way, that this movie was perfect at an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
If they made it a two-hour movie, I'm not sure they could. I'm not sure there's enough material there, but they weren't trying to be anything that they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, they were pretty simple. And it, to me, what was interesting about this movie is that one of the things I liked about it was one of the things I disliked about Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Okay.
This movie, they were both movies were self-aware. And both movies a little bit made fun of themselves a little bit during the movie. But for some reason, it didn't work for me in Lego Movie. But in this movie, Isn't It Romantic, I thought it was really funny. You know, and I felt like it worked. You know, and I thought the degree to which they sort of dropped that in a little bit here and there was just perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt like they really did a nice job. It was funny. It, like you said, it had a great message, but it wasn't preachy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too corny. I think it would be a really great movie for teenagers. You know, I thought it was great. And like you said, also date night. Like, you know.
Yeah. There were not very many people in the theater when I saw it. There was an odd number, and I was the only one by myself. But I was like cracking up with the over the top gay friend, like that. How they were making fun of that trope, and he was just always, whenever she needed him, he was always like just
he
around
was already
the corner.
There.
Yeah, he was already there. How did you get here? Well, first I hacked your phone, and then I followed you here. I thought that was hilarious. Some of the stuff was just like they weren't doing the slapstick comedy that I was expecting, and then at the end she pulls the IV out and the blood just splatters all over the and because it wasn't a lot of it, like that just really cracked me up. Yeah, totally on board with this movie. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was good.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. I the other thing I wanted to comment about this movie was Adam Devine.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is great. When's he going to get his own film? So I was looking that up, and I don't see anything. I mean, he has two that are now post-production, but it looks like, and I could be wrong, but it looks like he has another pair of movies. One of them is a kids movie. And it looks to me like in both of them, he sort of plays the same type of sort of best friend or sidekick or whatever. But I just think, I mean, he was great in Pitch Perfect. And I thought he was so great in this. His, like, again, I'm not trying to be overdramatic or whatever, trying to say he's going to get an Oscar or nothing like that. But just felt like he really effectively, you know, communicated through his acting his character. You know, really came through, and you liked him from the instant he was on screen, and from the instant he was on screen talking about how he felt for the Rebel Wilson character, whose name I forget now, but he, you know, his expression of that in the beginning of the movie when she was obviously unaware of that and not open to that, I just thought he was great.
He wasn't over the top pining. It was just like, it was very clear they were friends, but that there was something underneath that was.
No, he was great.
I
thought he, I wouldn't go so far as to say he stole the show because he's one of the two main characters, but I thought he was really great. Hemsworth was, to me, was kind of like, I'm all right. Like,
yeah.
He did what he needed to do for the show, you know, and now he can go back to bigger movies.
All right. So we're on board. Go see this movie if you get a chance. If you're into romantic comedies, need a date thing, or just looking for something with a good message. So, moving forward, listener feedback. Do we have anything else to add to that?
No, I think we covered.
We already got that down.
I think we covered that. I was startled.
Yeah.
Startled to find out that people would listen. Not only listen.
want to say things.
But then, well, no, even before that, listen, but then also listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
My God, you know, that's terrible. And then, like you said, you know, then go on and say things. And I'm not sure if we covered it already, but shout out to my boy John, who pointed out that, you know, the whole J.J. Abrams thing, you know, for reminding me that, in fact, he already directed it. And that's probably why you loved The Force Awakens. But no, we love that, and just love hearing from people. You know,
yeah.
So you know what I'd like to hear from somebody in Wilmington,
okay.
Somebody in Huntington Valley.
Yeah.
So we're getting a lot of Lancaster feedback, and of course that makes the most sense since that's where we're at. But yeah, shout out to Huntington Valley out there doing our thing on County Line Road.
podcast@penncinema.com. Hit us the email there, or on the Facebook page for any of the Penn Cinema theaters. Comment there when we share the link or any other time. So what are you reading? What are you watching this week? What's going on outside of the movie world for you?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got one.
Okay. Hit me.
It's a great movie.
Okay.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
A film.
It's a film.
Film that I loved.
Uh-huh.
That I watched on Netflix.
So it's an Oscar contender.
No, because they didn't spend any money on the Oscar campaign.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's all adding up now. And actually, I'm just making this joke because I don't honestly remember if it was Netflix or Prime.
Yeah.
You know, because I have one of those things. But the Velvet Buzzsaw.
Okay.
Are you aware of this?
I saw the trailer. It looked good.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Is it?
And it's one of those movies that you're sitting there watching it, enjoying it.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, this movie isn't even what I thought it was. It goes to a whole nother place.
Okay.
And you sort of, I mean, from the trailer and sort of throughout the movie get hints. And then all of a sudden it sort of starts to turn.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, snap, this is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But even before you get there, you're enjoying it and loving it because it's, you know, the acting is amazing and it takes place in L.A. and there's some really funny characters in it. So I loved it. I recommend it.
So it's thriller, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so 47-year-old guy watching it at home, married with children, loved it. And then also my daughter, who's a freshman in college, also loved it.
Okay.
So it's reaching a pretty broad audience.
Broad audience.
You know, yeah.
Okay. It's definitely on my list to check out.
So also another I don't know if it's a series or what you call it, but I think it was broken into 6 episodes or something like that. And I think they called it season 1, but I'm not sure if there's a season 2.
Okay.
Which is being John Malkovich in ABC Murders, the Agatha Christie story. John Malkovich is one of my favorite guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, loved him in remember Burn After Reading?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just love that movie. And so I literally tuned into this. I mean, I enjoy a good murder mystery. I wish there were more plain old-fashioned murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. I tuned in because of Agatha Christie and because of John Malkovich, and this show was amazing. It was really great. I watched the whole entire thing in like 2 sittings.
Oh, wow. So this is an anthology thing, or is it like
– No, it's one story. It's
okay.
one murder mystery broken up into like 5 episodes.
Okay.
It might be 4, it might be 6, but you know, there's a bunch of episodes, and it's great.
And it's on the ABC. Do they have a streaming thing or
No.
You're
off.
Okay.
The name of the show is the ABC Murders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's not it's not an American broadcast company.
Right. It's not Worldwide World of Sports.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's and it's based on an Agatha Christie book, the ABC Murders.
Okay.
And John Malkovich plays the guy, Henri Perrault, I think it is, something like that, some real French name. It was the guy from the movie The Orient Express that came out.
Right.
He was just amazing, and so, yeah, that's what
okay.
it is.
Okay. Cool. Very cool. I'll have to check that out. I do enjoy my murder mysteries, so for me, I feel like when I was getting ready for this part of the show, I was like, geez, I'm like a broken record. So I finally finished. I mean, I know we started it like weeks ago, and I finally finished Kimmy Schmidt. Like, I had taken a long hiatus, like, big break because I was watching other things.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the ending. Did you get to the ending of
it? Not yet.
I feel like it ends really well. So I'm happy with that. I guess they're doing a movie, from what I understand.
That would be great.
Yeah. So I really want, what's her, Kempler or whatever her name
Ellie.
Is.
Ellie Kempler.
Yeah. I really hope that she goes on to do more stuff because she's fantastic. I also finished the Umbrella Corporation and I wound up really enjoying that towards the end.
Oh, I got news for you.
What's that?
I'm just going to put this out there.
Okay.
I started watching Umbrella because of you.
Oh, okay. Right. All right. And you don't like it?
I wasn't into it.
Okay. I'm not surprised.
What's the deal?
How far into it did you get? 30 minutes.
Yeah. Is that when she gives birth in the pool? That's when I change the channel. I was like, this is weird. I'm leaving.
Is that when you clocked? Is that really when you clocked out?
Yeah.
It's a very weird world. Imagine if the X-Men were gotten at birth. And then raised by a really dysfunctional, like, abusive father.
Okay.
And the Professor X was just, like, not a horrible person, but just kind of very focused and not a father figure.
Yeah.
And so they've got these kids with powers, and they're thrust into, like, the limelight of being this team or whatever. But
their dad is Mr. Banks before Mary Poppins.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he's kind of like really focused on just honing them into their superhero thing.
Yeah.
And not them as people. Yeah. And so they grow up with all these dysfunctions. And then there's one character that for whatever reason doesn't have an ability, and she's the black sheep. And it's like,
I can relate.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I actually this made me aware of something about myself.
Okay.
The reason why I changed the channel is because it's not that I don't like weird. I love weird. I'm all about it, right? The stranger, the better. My problem is I don't trust, or I didn't trust, that I would be told what is going on.
Okay.
Maybe ever. Like, if that was a movie that was 2 hours long, then I would have stayed and watched the whole entire thing.
Okay.
Even if the movie resolved itself without telling me what was going on, like if it was a Coen Brothers movie, like that would have been cool and I would have been, you know, oh, that was really interesting, you know. But sometimes I feel like, and this was my complaint with Maniac, like how many episodes did I have to watch till I sort of understood the framework of what we were talking about?
Okay. Well, I'll say this about Umbrella Corporation because I'm a fan of the books as well.
Okay.
I felt that it did dole things out a little slowly. However, they do explain everything in the series. Like, I didn't feel like there was anything unexplained about it. Just like they kind of, they'll introduce you to something and you'll be like, but what's behind that? And then it'll be like the next episode, they'll actually get into it in a flashback. There's lots.
So like
the show has lots of flashbacks. Time travel is a big theme in the show. The one thing that they don't really get into is that, did you see the monkey?
No.
Okay. Yeah. There's like a guy there's like an intelligent monkey in a suit, and all of the guys says, well, your father made me who I am and I'm so thankful. And like, they don't ever go back to that.
Does the monkey put his hands on his hips like you just did?
I hope he does. I can't remember. Well.
I'm going to do our listeners a favor, and on the next podcast, I'm going to film you doing the podcast. That'd be great.
All my hand emotions are very Italian speaking.
Yeah.
So yeah, I finished that. I wound up really liking it by the end. I'm hearing fairly decent things from other people. So hopefully it season two will be. It takes a big turn from the books, so it was kind of like towards the end it started to interest me more and more because it was new stuff. But and then reading wise, I started reading The Siege of Stone by Terry Goodkind. You're not a fantasy guy whatsoever. Terry Goodkind blows my mind with his Sword of Truth series, and this is like the continuation of that. That's kind of a spinoff, and I'm just loving it. So that's me.
Awesome.
Trust. So, Penn, what are we going to do next week? What's our movie that we're going to review for the week and then talk about for a whole 5 minutes?
I'm just not choosing to bite on that. Next week, we're going to talk about a movie coming out starring one of my favorite actresses, Chloe Moretz.
Okay.
and even though she's one of my faves, I'm still not sure if I'm saying her name correctly, but you probably remember her from Sucker Punch and also Hit Girl from Kick-Ass. But she has a movie coming out called Greta, which is rated R and looks really wild. The premise essentially is like, oh, this young lady does this old lady a favor and everything's like hunky-dory until it's not. It's not.
Okay. I don't know. And this was totally under my radar. Yeah. I didn't know it was coming out. So I'm excited to go into this.
It's coming from a studio called Focus Features.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how familiar you are with Focus, but Focus, I'm going to fail to think of any good examples, but they usually have a really good track record. They make good movies, or they distribute good movies, or both.
More of the indie
A little bit. Type, it's a little bit, you know, it's definitely not what you would call a blockbuster. It's playing in Lititz and Wilmington, not wide enough to get into a sevenplex like Huntington Valley.
Okay.
It looks good. I want to say it's an hour and 40 minutes, so it's not super long. Mm-hmm. It's not real short either, but I'm excited for it. I think it looks really good, and we'll look forward to talking about it next week. Also next week, we will be talking about Avengers v. Star Wars.
Yes.
We need to quick get that bet on the books before we start getting more information and it becomes obvious that you're going to lose, because we want that to be a fair fight.
Right, right. And just to pop in, I think she's a three-name thing, so it's Chloe Grace Moretz.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. From what I understand, she does like the three-name thing. So if anybody was like, I don't know who Chloe Moretz is, maybe Chloe Grace Moretz will make you think more of who she is.
Do you think anybody's still listening to the podcast?
No, nobody. they tuned out a long time ago.
All right, here's the thing. If you're still listening, send me an email. The first person to send me an email, I will send you two free tickets to attend a movie at Penn Cinema.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. Let us know.
That's it. First one.
First one. Okay, so thanks so much for listening to the show. Again, podcast at PennCinema.com is how to get in touch with us. Tell a friend about the show. If you get a chance, leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you for everyone who's been doing that. That's pretty cool to see that up there. So we'll see you back next week. Once again, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.